This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
I'm Ghetto, and you are listening to New Japan Podcast, motherfucker!
Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, May 21st, and today we are talking all about Best of the Super Juniors 24. Damon, so let's talk about your boy Jushin Liger for a second here.
All right. Yeah, let's start off fucking hot with the juice.
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
He had a good match with Taka Michinoku on night one, right? He had a great match with Takahashi.
I agree.
In my opinion.
Yes.
And then he had another good match with Marty Scurll. Now, all of these have been very good matches, but Liger is currently 0-3 in Best of the Super Juniors this year, and it's kind of hearkening back to the Tenzan booking for the G1 that I was afraid of.
Okay, let's start with Liger if we're going to get there first. Let's finish this point first, because you're jumping right into the pool. Colin's wasting no time here. He's diving off the deep end.
Coming in hot.
No, you know what? Fuck the music. How about that open? How about that lead in? That voicer I got for you guys, huh?
That's right.
Let me tell you. So, just before we get into the Liger talk, so getting that was hilarious. Because I didn't have the balls to ask him at first. Because I'm like, how am I going to ask him to do this? And so I typed it out on my phone, like what I wanted him to say, and my friends are egging me on, and this is about four beers in at this point, and I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm going. So I go over to the table, and I'm like, hey, and Kushida was right next to us, and I was like, Ghetto, Kushida does a podcast. He's like, yeah, podcast. And I go, I do a podcast. And he's like, oh, and I show him the iTunes feed. He's like, oh. The name of our show is like a mix mash, right? So it's, you know, pure resu.
Puru resu plus podcast equals purocast.
Right. So that's how we squished two words together. But that like went completely over his head. So he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying here. So I had to like spell it out a little bit. So what I did was I brought my small tiny recorder. It's probably about the size of your palm. And I just brought in my mic, and I'm ready to go. And I hit record, and then my battery was dead, dude. And I'm like, fuck, my battery's dead. So I'm looking at my bag like a total
geek
mental page. Right. So I'm looking through my bag. I'm like, I always have batteries in my bag because I had to bring it to the sports set. No, not a battery in sight, Colin.
Oh.
So he's looking at me like, what do you want me to do? I was like, okay. I kind of shrugged my shoulders. My friend goes, why don't you just record it on your iPhone? I was like, yes. So I'm looking for the recorder app, right? So I finally load it up, get it going. I load it up, hit record, and I have the thing in front of him. And he read what I wanted him to do with the motherfucker, right?
Right.
And I kid you not, Colin, I've never seen a grown man smile like this. Like he was, he grinned ear to ear at the idea of saying this and recording this. He does it. He goes, "Was that good?" I was like, "Yeah, that was great." And now I'm smiling ear to ear, and I couldn't wait to send it to you. So I run over, get that texted over to you, and made your night. So
that's
one
of the all-time great liners. That's not going away anytime soon, folks.
You're gonna hear that week after week after week. So there you go, little side story there. Liger is what you wanted to talk about right out of the gate, though.
Yeah, and full disclosure, folks, we're gonna be jumping around a lot today because there's a lot on our minds regarding this tournament. So strap yourselves in.
Yeah, we're gonna be bouncing about. We're gonna be nosing around. So Liger, Colin. The man is 50-something years old, right?
52.
Yeah. And I am hard-pressed to come up with a 52-year-old that can produce at that level consistently when called upon. Maybe a Terry Funk. Maybe a Ric Flair. But I'm really struggling to find a 52-year-old pro wrestler that can deliver the way that he delivered on these three nights. Every one of his matches, I am so excited for. And yes, truth be told, I am a little bit disappointed in the fact that he's going over already, right? Unless we're looking forward to, you know how Tanahashi struggled in the beginning of the G1 and then he hit a gear and then started picking up wins?
Yes.
I'm hoping that we're in that booking world, right? I'm hoping, because I really feel like a great story would be Liger at least coming close. Now, we know that the way that they book these tournaments, whether it be G1, whether it be Best of the Super Junior, there's always it always comes down to the last night, or, you know, at the very least, the night before the last night. Right. So I have faith that we're going to pick up some wins here for Liger. But that aside, wins and losses aside, Colin, help me out here. Is there a pro modern pro wrestler that at 52 that you can think of off the top of your head that can produce the way this guy has? He's got to be in the discussion of some of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that there's any argument that Jushin Thunder Liger is not one of the best of all time. And when I was watching that match that he had with Takahashi,
oh, what a match.
I had a feeling while I was watching it, and it was a similar feeling to how I felt back when I was a teenager and I was first getting into Jushin Thunder Liger and watching a lot of these classic matches from the 90s. To me, this Takahashi match was as good as anything that I ever watched from Liger.
It's up there. I don't think that's a stretch. I really don't. I don't think it's at the upper echelon of matches in his catalog. But this, first of all, we're getting Jushin Liger in singles matches, which is always a treat.
It really is.
For most of the year,
he's, you know, in these mixed tags and.
Yeah. Yeah. So just that alone is pleasurable. Secondly, he's putting on performances that are right up there with some of the best matches of the evenings, right? Now, I will say that a lot that has to do with it is the fact that it is a compelling storyline. You're rooting for Liger to get a win because we all know that this is his last Best of the Super Junior. And these two matches at Korakuen were his last Best of the Super Juniors in Korakuen, right?
That's right.
So they're monumental. They're historic. They're important. And, you know, he knows it and the crowd knows it too. So you have that built into the match. There is a compelling storyline. You want the guy to get the win. Secondly, he's not disappointing. And you know what? Not for nothing, he's just such a smart, smart worker, because truth be told, it's not only the stuff that he is doing, because he's letting it all hang out, right? He's not holding back. He's doing what physically he can do to make these matches great. But it's even the stuff that he's not doing. Colin, that one, you know, the Takahashi sunset flip through the ropes, and he wants to, you know, wind up power bombing him on the floor. that spot, just right there, you're like, oh my God, please, no, you're going to kill him. Right? Right? But I mean, and he didn't hit it, but it was just that. Colin, he's wearing, all right, let me just kind of put this in perspective here. I don't think that there's a guy on planet Earth that can sell as well as Jushin Liger. I don't really don't. And let's consider the fact that the guy's wearing a complete full mask.
Right. We're not seeing any facial expressions.
Absolutely correct. So he's using every other part of his body to help tell the story of a match. In that Skrull match, he was selling that arm the entire match. And in fact, it was limiting his offense in performing some of the maneuvers that he wanted to do to finish off Skrull because his arm was fucked. That is great pro wrestling. Simple pro wrestling. Smart pro wrestling.
It works, doesn't it?
Oh, how about that? How about that? Now, listen, we're gonna sit here and wax poetically about a match where you could argue that that wasn't the case, right? There are arguments online, and I read them, that you know, and again, we're referring to Ospreay and Ricochet, that's not – you're not going to see a lot of that. And again, we're going to cover that base in a second. But Liger is so goddamn good. I mean, his match with Taka Michinoku, first match, opening night.
Yeah, good match.
The cross face, the arm, and he's going to tap out. And he's just trying to get to the ropes. That was an emotional moment. That was a fun moment. Everybody was wrapped up in that moment. Oh, my God. 52 fucking years old, Colin. 52. You know, and he's showing people how it's done. That is just, oh. Listen, not for nothing, kids. You don't know what you got till he's gone. And I'm not saying that Jushin Liger right now is or should be in the mix at the top of the juniors.
No.
Right?
That's not what we're saying at all.
No. But when when the spotlight is shined and he gets the tap on the shoulder and it's like, go get him, he absolutely delivers. And it's like once or twice a year. This year, we got three in a row. I thought the Skrull match was good. It wasn't great. It was good.
Yeah, the Skrull match was good.
Takahashi match was great.
Agreed.
Takahashi match was great. I'm sorry. It was great. You're not going to find a better 9-minute match.
That may have been my second favorite match of the tournament thus far.
Me too. Me too. I really enjoyed that match a lot. And here's the thing. Each night, we've only got three nights under our belts. This has been a great tournament so far. Arguably my favorite of all time. It's really gotten to the point where it's you know, this is probably the second year in a row where we're looking at some really fun stuff, really great stuff. There's been years where it's been lean. These first couple nights have been somewhat slow, decent, nowhere near where we're at right now. I mean, are we at G1 levels with this tournament? Are we comfortable putting this on a pedestal like we do G1 and looking forward to it every summer?
Well, Damon, it's funny you should say that because I don't know if you remember, and this is going back months and months here on the Purocast, I was saying, hey, check out this crop of juniors that New Japan currently has. This year's Best of the Super Juniors could approach G1 levels.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say, especially with that Ricochet and Ospreay match, that it has. And just to kind of wrap up this thought on Jushin Thunder Liger that I started off the show off, that started the show off with this week. It's funny. I was listening to Meltzer about a week or so ago, and he was talking about just how much of a beast Liger is. I mean, he wears this suit and you can't really tell, but the guy is built. And at 52 years of age, to be built like that and to still be having this level of match, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'll be sitting back in my chair watching these shows and I say to myself, I can't believe I'm still watching Jushin Thunder Liger. Like, this guy who was on Nitro.
Yeah.
You know, it's just insane.
I mean, I was watching him in high school.
Yeah.
Think about that, Let that fucking sink in, right? Like we were watching Jushin Liger before cell phones,
yeah,
before iPhones, before the internet, before many of the cable stations that you currently watch right now, before your PlayStations.
He's been wrestling in 4 decades now.
I mean, listen, when Keiichi Yamada, he he's a young lion. Before his excursions, and even during his excursions, I would get stuff from Calgary. I would get tapes from Calgary and see stuff from that. Just recently, I just got a whole supply of stuff from his British run when he was over in England.
I'd like to see some of that stuff.
Yeah. It is interesting. I'll be truth be told, I'm probably one of the only people. I got a framed picture of him, no mask, sans mask, obviously. I think it was when he was in Calgary. And he's like kneeling at a river. But it's autographed as Keiichi Yamada, not autographed as Jushin Liger.
How did you get a hold of that?
You know, Eric had two of them. His dad traveled a lot. And at one point he was in Calgary and first of all, Eric is a guy that saves everything. Like he has shit, like he has toys from when he was a kid that he's never opened, right? And it's just like, why would you not open like a pack of stickers that you got when you were a kid? He's that guy. But his dad got these autographs and he's just kind of leafing through it. And then one day he realized, oh my God, that's Jushin Liger. Yeah, anyway, long story short, yeah, I have it. I'm probably one of the few guys that have it. And one time I brought a magazine where he's on the cover, Keiichi Yamada, and I wanted him to sign it as Keiichi Yamada, but he signed it as Liger. Sorry. But yeah, I have that on my wall. All right, where are we, Colin? You're gonna have trouble steering this boat today. We got choppy waters today. We got Hurricane Damon pulling through.
Let's talk about night one. What did you think of the opening night that we watched on Wednesday, May 17th? What did you think of that show as a whole? Because for myself, I thought that it was very good, but I didn't think it was a show that we're necessarily going to be talking about come end of the year.
No, but I did think it was a very good show. So this had Taka Michinoku and Liger, right?
Yep, that was the opener.
Which I thought was a really good match. And again, the way that Liger sold was tremendous. My finishes and biases aside, I was let down by the fact that he did lose. But okay, fine. What was the main event? That was Skrull Ospreay, right? Okay.
No, that was not the main event, but there is. I'm glad that you mentioned Skrull and Ospreay, because there's a connection that I want to make between their match and the Dragon Lee and Takahashi match. Now, we've seen both of these guys wrestle each other, all four of these guys wrestle each other, rather, like thousands of times, seemingly. I'm exaggerating, The point is they've wrestled each other a lot. Now, if you sat somebody down who has never seen these guys face each other, they would probably be blown away. Now, I'm not saying that these weren't two great matches, but this was sort of paint by the numbers Ospreay and Skrull, and paint by the numbers Dragon Lee and Takahashi, which is still a great match, mind you. Do you know what I mean? Am I making any sense?
Yeah. So, when guys work together often, obviously there becomes almost like a template where there are similar spots and similar things that happen in matches and where you get accustomed to somebody and you kind of wind up doing similar things because you know where they're going to be. Blah blah blah. Yeah. Let's I do know what you're saying, and I'm going to expand that and reemphasize the fact that these matches were really good fucking matches.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't think they were the best matches that these guys have ever had together.
No.
Right. So if you took their entire catalog, no, I wouldn't necessarily put that in the top two. But Dragon Lee and Takahashi. First, I was surprised as fuck with the finish.
They
right?
fucked up my booking, Damon.
They
like,
did.
Like, right out of the gate.
Night one, you were screwed.
I think Ghetto changed it, like, after listening to last week's show.
After
he heard my idea, like, he originally had that, but because I said I wanted that to happen, he, you know, changed things on the fly.
Yeah, well, I whispered in his ear. So I didn't say, when he did the promo, I was like, fuck Colin over, please. And his booking, fuck him. But no, I was on board with it. I thought it was a creative idea, right?
And we got a great response to it too. A lot of people were on board with it once I mentioned it.
Right. But tell me the truth. After it happened, right? So after the fall happened, did it make sense to say, okay, well, at least we know that Takahashi has a new challenger.
Well,
and if it's Dragon Lee again, I got zero fucking problems with that.
You see, that's the thing. If anybody was going to beat him in his current run for the first time as Takahashi, it makes sense that it would be Dragon Lee. And on the bright side of things, you know, it looks like we're going to see another Dragon Lee versus Takahashi match for the IWGP Junior title. But there is still that part of me that says, man, you know, when Kushida finally beats Takahashi, which eventually he's going to, but when he finally does it, it would have been nice for Takahashi to have remained undefeated up until that point. But at the end of the day, I don't think Kushida beating him will still have meaning.
You still hanging on to Kushida. Kushida is like at every opportunity there is, Colin, in a New Japan ring, mind you. Now again, Kushida walked away with the Ring of Honor Television Championship, but you know, that being said, if he's in a New Japan ring and he's taking the fall. Bushi fucking pinned him in a six man.
And Desperado pinned him here on the opening night.
Yeah. Colin, when is he going to start getting his groove back?
I think
when is that happening?
Here,
Nelson,
well,
we got the summer to get through. We got a long way to go till we're at the dome.
Well, I have a new idea for the finals of this tournament.
Oh, all right.
Yet another new idea since I had to throw away my old booking.
All right.
How about a Liger versus Kushida finale?
Kushida's like 0-1. Is he 0-3 or is he 0-2 right now? He might be 0-2. I know he's 0-4, right?
Let me check that really quick here.
I'm almost certain he's 0-4. So it's, I mean, you could. Yeah, but yeah, Kushida's 0-4. As of right now, as of this recording, standings in Block B, El Desperado at 4 points, Taguchi with 4, ACH with 2, Volador Jr. with 2, Tiger Mask with 2, Kenny Morrow with 2, and Bushi and Kushida both with goose eggs. And in Block A, again, as of right now, Sunday, right around 2 p.m., Dragon Lee atop with 4, Takahashi with 2, Skrull with 2, Ricochet 2, Taichi 2, Michinoku 2, Osprey 2, and Liger with the goose egg. So
you could have Liger and Kushida both make their comebacks, you know, kind of at the same time.
I just find it amazing that Bushi pins him.
Hey, Bushi's an LIJ.
I guess, Colin. And here's the thing too. Keep in mind that some of this stuff might lead us to Long Beach, right? Because Bushi's on these Long Beach shows. Kushida's on these Long Beach shows. And Kushida, you know, is going to be defending that ROH TV championship at the G1 War of the Worlds.
Exactly.
And Takahashi's on these shows. But also, shockingly enough, Colin, on these G1 shows is Dragon Lee. So if by some happenstance that I can grab onto another Dragon Lee Takahashi match, hopefully live in Long Beach, I'd be okay with that.
It would make sense for them to go with that for Long Beach.
Well, listen, you know you're going to get that. And with the results that happened yesterday, it was, or maybe the day before, they finally got the matches up on New Japan World. We caught them this morning. You know, Ricochet.
The Ricochet match makes more sense to me in Long Beach because
he's not on Long Beach. Ricochet is not.
Ricochet's not on Long Beach?
No. No.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know. But he is not on the list of participants for these G1 shows. There is no Ricochet to be found.
That match would have made more sense in front of that audience. Ricochet's huge, especially in California.
Yeah. I'm not shitting on either one of them. You know, I'll take either one of them. I was kind of surprised without Ricochet. And again, we'll go over the lineups shortly. We have the list of all competitors that will be on these G1 Long Beach shows. But let's stick with the best of the Super Junior. Right now, I'll take the wheel, Colin. I'll take the wheel and drive the boat.
All right, Damon. That'll be a nice.
That'll be a first.
Nice little change of course. But all right. Yeah, as we were saying, great main event with Dragon Lee and Hiromu Takahashi. But you know, nothing we haven't seen before out of these two. I did not think that it was as good as their match from New Beginning earlier this year. It wasn't as devil may care.
Yeah,
which is probably a good thing because it's the beginning of the tournament and nobody wants to get hurt on night one.
Right. You're going to need a spatula and a mop for some of those spots. Let's make sure we are clear. These were really great matches. These were really great matches. But comparing it to the New Beginning Takahashi Dragon Lee match, again, that was just balls to the wall car crash, where this was a little bit more, I don't want to say safe, but it certainly didn't have
it
that.
It was.
The dangerous element that was so compelling was turned down a bit, and I think that's good. That might be a good thing. We don't need to do that every single time. And what did you think of Ospreay and Skrull? You thought that was...
Ospreay and Skrull, again, another great match from these two. But I think that their match from February of last year, if I'm not mistaken, February of 2016 at that Rev Pro show, that was probably the best match that I've seen these two in.
That was one of them. Yeah, that was really great. I like Skrull a lot. I think he's got a great look. I think he's got a tremendous ring entrance.
You know what I found shocking about Marty Skrull in New Japan? It seems that the audience really knew who he was. I mean, they were even doing the old whoop whoop to the
music.
Do it
again, Colin.
Whoop.
All right. Little train that could. Listen, it's a smart crowd. I'm shocked that people are like, wow, they knew who he was. It's Cork and Hall. These are the smartest fans in all of pro wrestling. Trust me, if this was in the middle of Fukuoka or Nagoya, I'd be a little bit more, this is Cork and Hall. These are the best pro wrestling fans in the world.
That's true.
Worried about that. So I love his entrance. I don't mind. There are people, Colin, online that they're not a fan of the finger break spot.
Yeah, I was listening to Brian Alvarez really tear into that on Wrestling Observer Live the other day.
Is that right? He's not a fan?
No, he is not a fan.
Why? I don't understand why. Why is that a problem?
I think that a lot of people think that it is a bit hokey. I personally never had a problem with it. I never really thought about it like that. Then, as a matter of fact, it kind of makes me cringe when he does it.
I mean, I remember Adrian Street doing it all the time. Adrian Street would do that move.
Damon's 100 years old. I remember George Washington doing it as he was crossing the Delaware.
Gotch. Buddy Rogers used to do that. I went to the old Madison Square Garden. Me and my grandfather in his fedora. Fuck you, Colin. All right, I'm not that old.
I'm sorry. It just sounded funny.
Ageism. I remember Adrian Street doing that. He would do that... go back and watch the old Mid-South stuff when he was there, when Adrian Street was there. He would do that. And I think it's an old – I think when Skrull does it, I think it's actually an homage to Adrian Street. Again, one of the best British wrestlers and probably one of the more famous and more the biggest names. So I'm kind of surprised that I don't find the finger break spot hokey. I will tell you what I do consider hokey.
What's that?
And this does take me out of the match, his matches sometimes. I fucking hate that bird dance.
Oh, see, I love the bird. I'm sorry. I love
Coco
that.
Where's the bird? But I don't want to see like when he does, like it completely takes me out of the match. And he must have done, he did it 700 times in this match against Ospreay. Right?
He does do a lot of comedy sometimes. I have noticed that, especially, I believe in the Liger match, there was a fair bit of comedy in the beginning, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what it is? He tries, it feels to me like he tries to be Western heel.
Sort of.
Like it's, and it's so, sometimes it gets to the point where it's so overdone and so, like it's at a, he turns it up to an 11, and it's just like, ugh, all right, dude, you're really cool. You got a great look. You don't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like I wish somebody would kind of whisper in his ear and say, you are over as fuck right now. You don't have to do the bird thing.
I personally hope that the bird stays. I really do.
I hate the bird. I like Morris Day and the Times Bird. That's a great song. Put that on in the jukebox.
How about the birds? Do you like them?
The Birds, the movie?
Everything turned to...
Oh, yeah. I do. I actually, I can appreciate them.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
just checking.
I'm all right with that.
You just don't like Skrull's Bird.
Ew.
Skrull's Bird. Sounds like a city.
Does it? Sounds delicious. No, I am not a fan of Skrull's Bird. Thank you.
Give us your thoughts on Twitter, folks.
I like his umbrella. I like the umbrellas thing. Again, he's got a very creative steampunk kind of.
You like the Eyes Wide Shut mask?
Love it. I think it's fantastic.
I noticed a lot of people in the audience wearing those masks.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, where the fuck do you buy that? Like, do you make that?
I would wear that to work.
I guarantee. I bet you have. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, how in the fuck do you get a mask like that? Where do you go to get a mask like that?
And
like,
does he have a case for it when he flies with it?
I hope. Right. Well, I always wonder that, like when wrestlers pack their stuff. Like, because have you ever gotten checked through customs and you had to like open up your shit?
Oh, just recently, last month.
Is that right? Okay. And this is you. This is you, Colin. This is Colin Miller. This is not, you are all American boy.
Yeah, I'm like, right? Apple pie.
It really are. And you're getting tapped and walking out of line. These guys must get pulled out of line every 5 seconds, right? I mean, seriously, imagine Evil going through the security.
Oh, God.
With his, you know what I mean? Right. So,
with his sickle.
with a sickle. Right. But you know what I mean? Like, how do you pack a sickle?
And how do you explain that then? Like, you know, when they ask you.
Through carry-on, that's for sure. But the wrestlers are kind of, they're somewhat obsessive in like a lot of the important stuff that they carry, titles and shit like that. You got to go in your carry-on, right? And especially your gear, carry-on, right? Because you don't want it to lose, you don't want some schmo in, O'Hare to lose your shit. And you're wrestling, you have an instant bunkhouse match because you're wrestling in jeans. So how does that happen? Like does he pack his, like, how do you pack a mask like that? And how do you not get checked when it gets zipped through the x-ray? Just random thoughts that I have, Colin, about pro wrestling.
I have these same thoughts as well. Another match I wanted to mention here that a lot of people really seem to dig was the Taguchi versus Kanemaru match, which was the semifinal.
Well, it's best of the Super Junior time, Colin. So Taguchi's going to have his, he's a lot of these guys. You know, we talked about Liger, how he just, he's the king of the six mans, king of the opening six mans. And you see it constantly throughout the year. And then the one time it is the shine. Well, this is Taguchi's time to shine. He's going to be in some singles matches and he's going to give you the best of what he's got. That wasn't a bad match. It was, it's probably third or fourth favorite of the night, but it wasn't a bad match. Colin, I haven't seen a bad match yet except when we get to You Know What and You Know Where. But I do want to share with you my thoughts on that because it might shock a lot of our listeners, Colin.
Are you referencing the great Tai Chi?
Yes.
Okay.
Tai Chi Takamichinoku match. I have thoughts.
One of our listeners was raving about that on the Twitter machine.
All right. Well, listen, save it. Make sure you bring up that tweet because I'm going to address all of it. I'm going to give you the take on this Matt classic.
All right. So all in all, night one from May 17th. Good show. Best of the Super Juniors off to a good start. And Damon, guess what? We arrive at the Tai Chi versus Takamichinoku match from May 18th. How about that?
Are you going to give me the floor?
Yeah, the floor is all yours, my friend.
You sure? You ready?
I'm positive.
All right, get your pen and get your notepad and pen because we may have to edit some stuff out.
Uh-oh.
No.
More work for me.
Yeah, I know. I'll keep it to a minimum. Colin, in the history of pro wrestling, I can honestly tell you that I have never had a match deliver the emotion that I felt while watching this match. I was both appalled and flabbergasted and amazed that these two guys, you know what, you have to tip your hat to these two, because I don't know how they did it. I don't know how it's physically possible. Colin, they had a 10-minute match, and they never touched each other. When I say never touched each other, there was not a lockup. There was not an arm bar. There was not a punch that connected. They physically never touched each other. How the fuck could that possibly be? So on one hand, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This is an absolute just abomination. But as it kept going, I just wanted to see if they could do it. I wanted to see if they could pull it off and how long they could fucking go. I was mesmerized. I was amazed. Colin, they went 10 minutes and they physically never touched each other. How was that possible?
And not only that, but they got a standing ovation from the audience afterwards.
Because they're like, listen, there was a certain point where you audibly heard groans, where they're standing in the corner, right? So again, guys, we all know that they're both members of the Suzuki-Gun. They're not, you know, they're reluctant to lock up. And they could have done the old, you know, the age-old Bullet Club thing where, you know, it's, all right, you lie down to me and I'm going to get the pin. And then, you know, the guy has second thoughts and then they argue and they've done it 1,000 times. This was, we're not even going to lock up. We're just going to stand in the corner and stare at each other for, Colin, how long did they go? 3 minutes, 4 minutes of just that?
Yeah, probably.
And you started to hear the groans. You did. You started to hear the, what the fuck is this? But as they kept going and going and going and going, and then they did the one spot where they kept ducking each other's clotheslines, and then they would powder out to the ring. It got to the point where people were kind of in the same boat as me of, I can't believe I'm watching this, but I can't believe they're actually doing this. Like, they're actually having a match that turned into something that was somewhat compelling, Colin, without even touching each other. It's kind of amazing.
Well, one of our listeners on Twitter.
Who is it?
At UncleSalty91.
UncleSalty91, yes. Because 90 was taken. But,
right.
Okay. All right.
Naturally.
All right.
He said that Tai Chi and Taka was genuinely tremendous. Fantastic booking.
Well, all right. I don't know about all that. All right.
That's some high praise from Uncle Salty.
Hey, Uncle Salty. Well, look, I don't know about all. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. But
fantastic.
Fantastic booking.
Yes.
Look, you could put, but here's, I will say this. I don't even think it's fantastic booking, Colin. I think it's fantastic execution in the sense of how do you do it? Like imagine, first of all, Colin, we could have this match.
Right? We could.
Right? Seriously, we physically, like, if we watched this match and studied this match and said, okay, now you're going to do this, you're going to do that, we could do this match.
And that might happen.
Every one of our listeners could have this match if they just watched the match and remembered the spots and studied it, right? So this is not like, no, again, you don't have to take an arm drag. You don't have to take a headlock. Colin, I'm never going to touch you, right?
We might still tear your quad. I could see that happening.
Blowing it out. My quads are actually quite good. I'd be a little bit more worried about the shoulder. But okay, regardless, we could do it. The problem is that if someone came to us and said, okay, Colin, Damon, you're going in. I need 10 minutes out of you, but don't touch each other. I mean, we would literally have a riot. We might have people hitting the ring ready to kill us, right? It would be an abomination.
We would not get a standing ovation.
We would be dragged through the streets of Tokyo. But, Colin, I got to give credit where credit is due. They pulled it off. They pulled off a match where they never touched for 10 minutes. And it wasn't the worst thing that I've ever seen. Now, listen, it started out but for whatever reason, it turned a corner, and I didn't want them to touch. And they could have probably gone another 5 minutes, and I probably would have been on board. Thoughts, Colin?
At the end of the match, when the four Suzuki Goon guys were standing in the ring, you know, Tai Chi and Taka and Desperado and Kanemaru, you know, they're all kind of, you know, and they fist bump each other. Like, that, I was shocked at the reaction that got.
They were all laughing. Every one of them were like, holy shit, they did it. You know, here's the thing. I don't even think this was I'm going to go so far as to say I don't even think this was a case where they were in the back. I just think they knew who was going over, and it was up to them to fill in the 10 minutes. And they did this as a rib. And again, I don't know for sure. Trust me. But just thinking about who these two guys are. They went in the ring to say, all right, fuck everybody. We're gonna do this. We're going to have a match, and we're not going to touch each other for 10 minutes. And they pulled it off because just by the look of all of them in the ring, watch the match. They're all cracking up because they can't believe that they actually did something like this. It was – I can't believe I'm – and again, I don't even – I don't want to – here's the thing. I don't want to see this ever again in my life. But I'm kind of glad I saw it.
Yeah.
You know? That's an amazing performance. I'm not going
to
lie.
Damon, would you tell the kids not to sleep on this one?
I think
is it something that you need to see?
No.
Like you want to say yes.
I think it is. And I'll tell you why. Like, this is a perfect example of showing people that you don't have to do 700,000 things to get people involved in a match, right? To get a crowd, you know. And again, listen, they weren't super captivated. It wasn't like they were going crazy, right? But
they didn't hate it.
They didn't hate it. Colin, I cannot believe I'm saying these words, but for 10 minutes, they didn't make physical contact with each other in a pro wrestling match. Pretty fucking amazing to me. But again, do I think people need to go out of their way to see it? No.
But if you do decide to watch it, you're in for a bit of a surprise.
I think you need to go into it with the expectations of knowing what you're seeing. Right? Because I think to an untrained eye, and I'm not sitting here saying that I'm the trained eye by any stretch.
You're an expert.
But I think if you just showed a casual wrestling fan this match, I think they would be like, what the fuck am I watching, right? But for people who kind of get it and understand what it takes to put on a pro wrestling match, and I think this is just – it's one of those experiments that worked. I don't know why. For me, it's one of those things that worked. I can't explain it. I'm amazed that they actually pulled it off. Listen, what would you have rather watched, this match or like, and again, I hate to bring it up on a New Japan podcast, or that House of Horrors match.
Oh, I think that this match was a little more entertaining than the infamous House of Horrors.
Right. Right. I think I'm
which Will Ospreay did reference
at the
end of this main event, but we will get to that in a bit.
Yeah. So let me ask you, did you like the I Touch Myself match? Because they weren't touching anybody else.
Look, as with any Tai Chi match, you know, especially Tai Chi versus Taka,
right?
I kind of went into it with the lowest of expectations possible. Right. But with that being said, at the end of the day, this was an interesting match that certainly kept my interest throughout.
Right. See? And I will also say this, Colin. I also, as you did, went into it with the absolute lowest of expectations. Like super low. Like, none. So that helps, right?
By the way,
I can't believe, and I, okay.
I was going to say, I think Tai Chi needs to do the full entrance every time. It's kind of growing on me.
Oh, no.
Well, of course, that all ends once the bell rings. But
oh, no.
There's something terrible about this entrance.
Yeah.
That is almost great. Especially when the girl comes out and does like the whole thing, you know, kneels down, blesses herself, the whole thing.
You need the whole thing.
The whole package is, it's certainly an act in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They have an act together that I think a lot of people seem to enjoy.
I'm not worried about some people, Colin. I'm looking right at you right now. What's happening?
Like here? I said, that all ends once the bell rings.
Right. Yeah, but you know what though? You know, a month from now, 2 months from now.
Are you saying that Tai Chi could be the new Yujiro?
I think you're warming up to him is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that the ice is cracking.
I'm not confirming or denying anything. I'm just saying I think that the entrance is
it starts with the entrance, Colin.
The entrance is gold.
The entrance is a gateway drug. Right? Right? If you can get past the entrance, what's next? You're gonna be like, you know, that when he takes off his pants, that actually is really kind of cool, right? Is that where we're going?
I don't think we're there quite yet. But okay. All I'm saying is the entrance, the music, the bad lip syncing, it all has a certain terrible charm surrounding it.
Wow. All right. This is the beginning of the end of the PureCast, kids. This is where it unravels. No? We're gonna keep it together?
We're soldiering on.
All right. I'm worried. I do have concerns, but we'll hold on to them from now. All right. So that's that. What else we got after this Matt Classic?
How about Dragon Lee versus Marty Skrull?
Yeah.
See, you said last week, I think, when we were previewing these shows, you said you thought that there might be a clash of styles between these two that would affect the match. Did you feel that way during the match?
Kind of did.
Okay.
I kind of did. I kind of felt like there was a little bit of oil and water. I kind of did feel that. I thought this was a decent match. I didn't think this was a great match. I thought this was a... You know, I'm shoulder shrugging good match.
I thought it was good.
Okay. All right. I look, I don't think it's think something anybody needs to go out of their way to watch, but I think it was decent. Maybe it was Marty and the fact that I felt like in this match I felt like I saw a lot more Bird.
too much Bird again.
Too much Bird.
Skrull Bird.
I don't know. To me, it felt like there was some mesh issues. It didn't feel Marty didn't look as comfortable with Dragon Lee, obviously, as he did with Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay was a perfect first opponent for him.
Has Marty Skrull ever wrestled Dragon Lee? I don't think he has.
Not to my knowledge, to be honest with you. Not to my knowledge. I'm sure we'll get the tweets that, yeah, they wrestled in Tijuana. I'm sure we'll get that. But to my knowledge, let's put it this way. I've not seen them two.
Me neither.
So, but we could be dead wrong, which we'll probably are. But I was okay with the match. You liked it a little bit more than I did?
Yeah, I thought it was a fine match. Okay. I actually, as I was watching it, I was thinking about what you said last week. And I really didn't feel that there was that styles clash, no pun intended, between Lee and Skrull. I thought they had a fine match. I'd like to see them get in the ring again, see what they could do after familiarizing themselves with each other. Dragon Lee picking up the win with a double foot stomp, and Dragon Lee racking up the points here in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I liked the match. I didn't think it was the best of even of this night. So, all right, what else we got there?
Well, we did talk about Liger versus Takahashi, but I'm looking at the timestamp for that match, and it was 8 minutes and 5 seconds for Liger and Takahashi. Have you ever seen a better story told in 8 minutes and 5 seconds? Come on.
That's amazing.
I mean, Liger just coming out of the gate on fire, because again, I think when people go into a match with Takahashi, it kind of looks like they have that mindset, you know, where they're like, okay, since this guy is out of his mind, I have to be relentless right from the get-go. And Liger, you know, when you go on NJPW World and you see the translated Liger name, it says Beast God Liger.
Right.
He was Beast God Liger.
Yeah. Again, you're exactly right. When the mindset is we're going to come out of the gate hot, we're going to come out of the gate crazy, and we need to pick up a big win out of the gate because we don't know what this guy is going to throw at us.
Because he's insane.
He is insane. Speaking of insane, did you see his coloring book or his
I did.
His storyboard or whatever people are calling
it? It was cute.
Did you see some of the translations?
No.
So there was a person, and I got this from Reddit. The Reddit name is Captain
New Japan.
GNU Japan, right? So very creative people out there. So he was able to translate some of the stuff that he saw on the screen as they were turning the pages of this gigantic coloring book, right? So next to each wrestler, Takahashi had a description, right? Of what he's thought of, or like, maybe it was like some kind of psychological profile of you know, the first thing you think of when you hear his name. So I'm going to read some of these off, Colin. This is how great Takahashi is, right? So Jushin Thunder Liger, kind now, so not strong. Amazing, though. Tiger Mask was Tiger Roar, right? Ricochet, cat, just cat, right? Will Ospreay. Probably a cat.
He probably is a cat.
Marty Skrull, umbrella guy. let's see here. Chiguchi, technical perverted old ass man. Great.
Wow.
Let me see here. Taichi, don't like him because he kicks me right away. Ouch. Awesome. Dragon Lee, love. Just the word love. How great is that? Dude, Ricochet, cat. Will Ospreay, probably a cat.
He might be onto something.
I'm telling you, he is the – if it wasn't for Okada, he would have my wrestler of the year locked up in a bag and a hand delivered.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough decision for me, because I think I can make the argument that Takahashi is wrestler of the year, but that's a different conversation for a different time. What more could we say about this Liger match? Great match. Takahashi wins with the time bomb. Go ahead.
Give me snowflakes.
I was going 4.5. I think I told you that yesterday.
Yeah. Am I going that high?
Maybe I'm being too generous.
I'm going over 4, but I'm having a struggle with 4.5.
See, I felt 4.5 because I was so excited when I was watching this that I feel like it warrants it.
To me, this match, and again, this, we're going to blend into Ospreay and Ricochet, right? So for me, this match was more – this match was great for the reasons that we talked about earlier, where it was compelling and we were rooting. And there was and we had two guys that, you know, not for nothing, are probably some of our favorites in a great match that we knew was going to be great. And it felt like we were rooting for the old guy to get one last big win against a guy who has been mowing through the entire junior division, right? But for Ospreay and Ricochet, to me, it wasn't like I wanted a guy to get a win over another guy. To me, truth be told, I didn't give a fuck who won.
Me neither.
It was go another 5 minutes because I want to see you do something balls-ass crazy, right? I want to see another move that is going to make me pop out of my chair. Do something else, you know, and I don't take this the wrong way, but it's kind of like, you know, the king, and is, you know, make me laugh again, or, you know, clowns, jesters.
Court jester.
Right. But that's what I felt like when that match was over. I was more disappointed that, oh, fuck, this is over. This is great. This is a roller coaster, as opposed to, oh my God, this is I'm compelled and I'm drawn into this match because I want a guy to win so bad.
Yeah, right? I'm in full agreement with you. There was two distinctly different feelings between those two matches, and certainly part of the story going into the Liger and Takahashi match was, like you said, you know, we want to see the old lovable veteran get a win, get a big win over this insane man who has just been mowing through all the juniors. But with Ricochet and Ospreay, I mean, could you, first of all, imagine the amount of pressure that both of those guys had on them, because their match from last year at Corken Hall, Best of the Super Juniors 23, that was the talk of the town. I mean, that lit up the interwebs on the wrestling world. So they had a lot of pressure going into this match number two at Corken, trying to top that. And honest to God, I think that they did. This match,
wow.
I can't say enough about it. This is, you know, just state-of-the-art 21st century pro wrestling, and I thought it was so clever how they started off this match with, like, chain wrestling and wrestling holds, and to me, that was kind of a little, tongue-in-cheek sort of middle finger to certain individuals in the pro wrestling world that haven't worked on the indies and don't like to do dives. This was them saying,
wow.
Hey, look, look, motherfucker, we can do all of the, great chain wrestling that you can do, and we can do it better.
I love the match. I thought the match, I don't know if I think it was was it as good as the first one?
I think it was better.
I think it's right up there. And the one thing I don't understand is, like, when – I mean, if you don't like the style, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I, what am I going to do? If people don't like the style, they don't like the style, Colin. And there are plenty of people that don't. But I think that the majority of the people that watch this know that you're watching the final match of a Best of a Super Juniors from Corken Hall. I mean, this is you're going to get this, right? If you're expecting, you know, Ishii Makabe, you're watching the wrong show.
And I love Ishii Makabe.
Right, it's a different flavor. It's a different take on pro wrestling. I was the one spot that really I enjoyed thoroughly was the suplex spot on the apron and the rollover. And
yes.
Ricochet hitting, you know, the secessional German. That was fun.
They did so much in this match that I felt like I had never seen before. And that's hard to do in 2017, you know, when we're living in an age where it's just great match after great match after great match from all these different promotions that we have access to right at our fingertips. It's hard to do things that people haven't seen before and make their jaws drop, and these guys do it every time.
That's exactly what this match was, Colin. This was a match where they went out there and this wasn't a match where they wanted to draw you in like Liger and Takahashi. They wanted at the end of the match to have your jaw drop. That's exactly that. That's what this style of pro wrestling should be called: jaw drop. Right? I'm making a. You know how there's like somebody. It might have been Lanza, as a matter of fact, from the Voices of Wrestling, coined the phrase the grapple fuck. Right. So it's the, yes. You know. Well, I'm coining a phrase right now. This is the jaw drop. This is jaw dropping pro wrestling, because that's exactly what they went out there to do. To have you watch this and pop out of your couch, your chair, wherever you're watching, and just throw your hands in the air and be like, oh, what the fuck? What did I just see here? How could they physically do that? They did it again. Now, this match might not get the buzz that the first one did. I don't know if you're going to see this match on ESPN. I don't think you're going to see this match shared via the interwebs as the first one was. But I do feel like there was a different flavor to this match, like you said. I do feel like that there was a different level. And I think it's at least on par with what we saw the first time. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really great. And I get the arguments of the no selling. And I get the arguments of some people with – there are people out there, Colin, that really despise Will Ospreay.
Oh, I know. Some people say that he's disrespectful.
Right, and he and again, the over exaggerated selling, like it's almost like he's selling to the point where I'm going to be so over exaggerated that because people seem to point the finger at my selling that I'm going to go so over the top with my facial expressions. And
I love
selling.
When like people chop him and he just goes, "Oh bloody fuck!"
right. I think that's even a little bit tongue in cheek too. Look. It's a style of pro wrestling that I know some people can't get into. But listen, I can't get into styles of pro wrestling. You know, there's stuff that I'm kind of like, you know, there's a whole world out there that loves the death matches. That ain't me. Sorry. But I enjoy this. I don't see how you can't. I don't see how you cannot watch this and just be like, holy shit, these guys are just fucking tremendous. Just tremendous.
Damon, yeah. If you had to throw some snowflakes at this match...
I'm not giving it five, Colin.
Wow. Oh, okay. See, I'm giving it five. I felt five.
Wow. Without hesitation,
yep.
Five.
Yep. No hesitation. This was a 5-star match. I couldn't give it any less than that.
Wow. Where are we ranking this on the Colin Miller scale of 2017?
Maybe favorite match of the year.
Whoa.
And this is including Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Wow. Colin, I'm going to throw some matches at you.
Okay.
Better than Tanahashi Naito Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
Okay. Better than Takahashi Kushida Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
Better than Omega Okada Wrestle Kingdom.
Look, I know this is where we kind of run into some trouble because we're talking about a 6-star match here. But
I want you to go with your gut and your mind.
I may have enjoyed this Ricochet and Ospreay match at least equally.
I'm going to rephrase the question.
Go ahead.
Which match did you enjoy more? Because I think there's a big difference between which one was a better match and which one you enjoyed. And I think people blur the lines a lot. So I'm going to refer to this as Colin's enjoyment scale.
You know what? Let's put Ricochet and Ospreay at number two, because I still can't I can't bear to...
Colin, if you feel that this match was better than Okada, no, let me take that back. Again, I'm using better. Did you enjoyed this match more than you enjoyed Okada and Omega? Yes or no?
I was equally as
pleasured.
that sounds so dirty. I was equally as amazed by what I was watching. If that sheds some more light on it.
Okay. Can I
go ahead?
Go ahead. No, you're good.
No, I was just gonna wrap that thought up. Yeah, I was equally as blown away by what was going on in front of my eyes with this Ospreay and Ricochet match as I was with Omega versus Okada. But I think that Omega Okada only gets the edge just because of the
venue.
Well, yeah, the venue, number one, and the meaning behind the match, the stakes, the unpredictability. Mm-hmm, I think so that gives it the edge at the end of the day. But look, like I said, I was equally as just blown away by the wrestling with Ricochet and Ospreay. Does that clear things up a bit?
It does, very much so, Colin. I'm going to give you one more, though, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Please, indulge me. House of Horrors. No.
House of Horrors is it's one of my favorite matches.
I'm sure
of the year.
Yes. Well, everyone's. I'm going to give you one more. Shibata Okada.
See, this is more up my alley. Ricochet and Ospreay.
Wow.
If I have to pick. I mean, I love Okada versus Shibata, too. Don't get me wrong. I love Shibata versus Ishii. I love that style. But
did you like Dragon Lee, Takahashi? That was one of your favorite matches. If I'm not mistaken,
that was,
you said that was number two.
That might be bumped down to number three now.
Wow! Woo!
And that's why for me, I was saying earlier, maybe I could make the argument for like a Takahashi being wrestler of the year or in the running at least.
I think that argument, I mean, that's going to be the battle. It really is. I mean, and Okada has a little bit more under his belt in the sense of being a draw, being a guy who puts asses in seats, being the front of the company, whereas Takahashi maybe doesn't necessarily have that. But I think that he has given the juniors division such a shot of adrenaline that, truth be told, to me, Kushida – It would serve his career well to not be a junior anymore.
I might, I think I might have to agree with that. But I still think that we're headed in that direction with another Takahashi versus Kushida match. Because come on, you can't. I feel like Kushida has to get that win back. You can't leave him like
he's dangling, he's losing quite a lot, Colin.
I know.
At every opportunity, you would think that he has to find a way to get his groove back, but he's been losing it every opportunity. He's taking the fall.
Look, Liger's going to get his groove back. Kushida's going to get his groove back, and we'll be looking at a nice Liger Kushida final.
All right, this is a compelling tournament. It's a fun tournament. I've loved what I've seen so far. Okay, so now we get just so we wrap this up in a bow, or at least this night in a bow, Colin.
Yeah.
Omega Okada, number one match of the year for you. Number two is this match. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, Ricochet Ospreay, number two. And I wanted to say one more thing about this match. After Ospreay won with the Os Cutter, he got on the mic. I think people don't talk enough about obviously because it kind of gets lost, but when Will Ospreay gets on the mic and he was cutting that promo and talking about, you know, how he does this for each and every one of us, and I believed every word that he said because it felt like it was really, you know, coming right from the heart. The promo that he gave in the ring and then afterwards in the backstage area, I believed every word that he said. I think Ospreay's a really good promo.
Yeah, I mean, New Japan, obviously, there's no scripting involved, and there's no no writers, and you know, there's not a backstage agent feeding them lines.
They should hire us as that.
They'd be off the air in 2 seconds. every promo would end with motherfucker. Look, I think he spoke from the heart, and I think that's good, especially when you physically push yourself to the limit like he did with Ricochet, and he enjoys working with Ricochet. You know, he said it in that promo, you know, it's his biggest rival, but his best friend. And when you have a working relationship like that, and again, you push yourselves physically to the limit because the pressure was on to at least match what they produced the year before. I think the emotions take over, and I think how you really feel and how you really the line between reality and what a person really feels gets blurred at that point. And I think that's good. That makes things a little bit, you can connect with a human being a little bit more. You can see the passion that he has, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I liked his backstage one a little bit more than I liked the in-ring one.
Yeah,
in the sense where he's like, hey, look, I missed my birthday. I missed my friends and family. I haven't been home in weeks. I've been all over the world. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. And so that's a good thing. I think that was a nice ribbon put on that show. Very good stuff.
So those are the first two nights from Cork and Hall. We have a few more matches to talk about here from the 20th and the 21st. Let's go to May 20th from the other day, Saturday. One match specifically that I want to just touch upon here was the Taguchi versus Volador Jr. match. And you had alluded to it earlier, how Taguchi, you know, people look forward to best of the Super Juniors Taguchi, as I do. And this was another good example of that, in my opinion, although it started off really comedy-heavy, with Taguchi doing his whole running the ropes bits and, you know, all of the usual shenanigans. But went about 10 minutes and just solid, good example of, you know, working boots Taguchi.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think Volador Jr., I think there's two guys that I think somewhat, and even on this show, if you think about it, that have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle here so far. And again, it's young. We're only three or four days in. Yeah. Volador Jr. is one of those guys, I think, that has gotten lost in the shuffle. I think he's done fairly well so far, right? And ACH.
Yes, ACH. How could we forget about him?
Well, again, I think that there's the big headlines that are being grabbed are the Ospreys, Liger, Takahashi.
That damn A block.
Yeah.
It's too stacked.
Well, listen, I'm telling you right now, you can't miss an A block. You can't miss an A block. It is too stacked. It's tremendous. And there is this feeling that you can somewhat, you know, people, I don't want to say that people are tuning into the A block. And it, to me, the feedback and the feeling that I'm getting with the B block is I got to wait for somebody to be the guinea pig to watch something. And then I'm going to chime in and watch if somebody says it's good. Now, I'm watching everything, mind you. But this is just some of the stuff that I'm hearing back. Right. You hear a lot of talk about the A block and it's loaded and it's stacked. And it feels like that's where the storyline is. And the B block is kind of somewhat having trouble keeping up.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy that the A block, you know, we're getting to see so many amazing matches, so many different combinations, but, maybe it would have served them well to throw the B block a bone or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah. But I think Volador Jr. and ACH are the guys that are kind of, I don't want to say lost in the shuffle right now, but, and again, I think that that we'll hear great things from them in the coming days. Again, we're still young in the best of the Super Juniors so far. We got a little ways to go. But I think early returns are that these are two guys that are somewhat lost in the shuffle right now.
On the 21st, we saw two matches in particular that we want to address here. The first
yes.
being Jushin Thunder Liger versus Marty Skrull.
Liked the match. I thought it was a decent match. It wasn't. Of the three matches right now, obviously Takahashi's number one, but I put this one over the Taka Michinoku one.
The Liger Taka match?
Yeah.
I'm going Takahashi and Liger right. number one. This right. one number two so far.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem saying that. I like this match. I thought it was fine. I think the main reason was, and again, people wanted Liger to win. Spoilers, he didn't. He went 0-3. But again, we're hoping for a big comeback from Liger. So I liked the match. I thought it was fine. Again, I think Skrull's got one of the best ring entrances. This was a single cam show, right, Colin? Yeah, this was a
yes,
single cam.
Yes, this was single cam, which... gotta be honest, I think does detract a little bit from the matches for me.
Really? I really like them. I like I find these shows to be non-distracting. Like, I don't get as distracted as much by non-commentary shows.
I need heavy production, Damon. I need a multi-camera shoot.
For some ridiculous reason, there is something very
kind of feels like you're there.
I don't want to necessarily go that far, but it's just it's not a comfort. It's a I'm kind of at a loss for the word that I'm looking for. It's you know, I mean, sometimes it's just a sensory overload sometimes. And this is just a simple camera, maybe another, you know, a far shot and a near shot. No commentary. You just hear the crowd. There is something very simple that I enjoy about them. And I can't have a steady, heavy dose of them. But every once in a while, one of these, I actually enjoy it. I do. And I don't know why I love this building so much. Just that gigantic wall. I mean, have you ever seen a wall? More useless wall in your entire life. Like, there's nothing. It's just a wall.
Did you get a load of the crowd from the previous night on the 20th? It was at the Sangin Arena.
Yeah.
It looked like there was about 20 people there.
Yeah, it was the smaller shows.
That was the Taguchi Volador show.
Yeah, there is a charm about those single cam shows, and I don't know, I love it. But that one thing, that orange wall, oh my God, what a just a who built this building? there's nothing here. It's just a giant wall. All right, very good.
Yeah, so Liger versus Marty Scurll, I think we can both agree was a good match.
Yep, very good.
And the main event for the Super Juniors matches was Ricochet versus Hiromu Takahashi. Now, Damon, I thought that this match was better than their Dontaku match.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think it was better than Dontaku.
There's something about it.
I like Dontaku better.
Okay.
I got to be honest with you. But I thought this was a great match. Again, once again, surprised by that finish.
Yeah, surprised Ricochet by the finish. Picking up the win.
Ghetto likes that again to keep us on our heels and make it, you know, right up into the finals. He's gonna make it close right up into the finals.
So we have two potential challengers now for Takahashi's title. We've got Dragon Lee and Ricochet.
Yeah, they could have gone either way, right? So if they went your way, Colin, they could have, you know, he could have mowed through. But you know, maybe in hindsight, this is the best way to go in the sense of, hey, you know, we're building for potential challengers. Now again, we have seen these matches before, but I don't hear anybody complaining that, oh, we're going to get another Takahashi Ricochet match eventually. Now, I don't hear anybody complaining about that.
I mean, what's there to complain about?
Right. I mean, listen, these are you put Takahashi in the ring with any one of those two, you're going to get a great match. We're going to see it again? Fine by me. Let's do it.
Yeah, so once again, I thought this was a great match. Now, on NJPWWorld.com, they're only uploading the Best of the Super Juniors matches. However, there was an interesting sort of development that happened with the main event of this night. So, we had a tag match. It was Tanahashi, Juice, Taguchi, and Kushida taking on LIJ, Naito, Sonata, Evil, and Bushi. So Evil gets the win on Kushida, which, I mean, I guess that's a reoccurring theme now. Kushida takes the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the notes here, and it says, after the match, Naito finally destroyed the IC title.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do we have pictures?
I don't have a picture currently. I'm sure it has to be.
So it's destroyed, huh? Well, he was chucking it at the ring posts and the steps. And he put a dent in that thing.
When those young lions were trying to push that back in, that was a riot.
And they got the hammer. They got the ring bell hammer. And they were soldering. You know, they were like iron workers, for Christ's sake. Very smart. Very resourceful, those young lions. But you're saying that it's finally broke, huh?
That's the word. It is finally destroyed.
Now, who was in this match?
It was Tanahashi, Juice.
Now, he wrestled? Tanahashi wrestled?
That's what it says.
Huh.
says Tanahashi was on the card. And unless this is wrong, unless this lineup is wrong.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to look into that because, yeah, I mean, the word on the street is that we're not going to be seeing him until these Dominion shows, right? With his bicep issue that apparently occurred during the War of the Worlds show. So we'll have to look into that. But according to, I apologize.
I have an updated card here. It was Kushida, Taguchi, Juice, and Kojima.
Ah, there we go. All right.
And that is from the official NJPW 1972 website.
There we go. All right. So that settled that. Yeah, I heard Tanahashi there, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, he's not coming back until June.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So there's the update there. And again, any update on the Intercontinental belt? It's damaged, and is it out 6 to 8 weeks? What do we got?
I think it might have a concussion.
I think it does. Look, obviously. Obviously, we're talking about a new title being constructed, right? I think that's what everybody is assuming here. So what better way to have this thing go out, right? If we're going to refurbish and redesign this Intercontinental belt, what a great way to have if they don't have a new belt built, how would you like to be the guy that wins this belt, right? This banged up hunk of shit.
You'll think you won the hardcore title.
Right. They're dragging it through the crowd and dragging it down the aisle. God almighty. I'd be like, what the fuck? But I think everybody is safely assuming that we're getting a new title relatively soon with the way that Naito is just beating the shit out of it. And it is hilarious what he's doing with this belt. But the word is that it's dead?
It's at least in critical condition.
Critical condition. All right. We'll keep you posted, everyone, as if we get any updates on the Intercontinental title situation.
All right, so that is Best of the Super Juniors thus far. Now, we do have a show coming up on the 22nd, and the two main events for that are, let's see here.
Yes?
Kushida versus mm-hmm. Bushi.
Scale 1 to 10, Colin?
Look... I have no doubt that it's going to be a good match, but historically, I haven't been that crazy when both of these guys got in the ring together.
I agree. Give me a number.
I'm going like a 6.
I'm going 5.
Okay, yeah. 5. So we're both in that middle of the road area.
Yep. All right. What else we got?
A little bit more generous. And El Desperado versus Taguchi. And there's dead silence. Wow. Hey, look, El Desperado had a good match with Kushida.
I'm gonna pull out my saying here, in the sense of when the time comes, there's not a guy on this roster that if you don't tap him on the shoulder, they can't have a great match. I'm going to rest on that. I'm going to use that for inner strength to say that. On paper, Colin. Not excited. But let's see if these two can deliver in the spotlight when they get tapped on the shoulder.
Hey, I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say that's gonna be a very good match.
Okay. I'm going into it with low expectations. So anything that they can do to raise the bar for me, I'm all in. Again, this is Best of the Super Juniors, so we are expecting a little bit more out of Taguchi. This is when he rises and shines. So he's got his hands cut out for him. It's not going to be easy. But I'm going in with low expectations. Hopefully they can set a high bar for me.
We're also going to see Volador Jr. versus Kanemaru and Tiger Mask versus ACH. No real standout matches for ACH yet.
I'm sorry, but it's the B block. B block is not a sexy block. It really isn't. That A block is really good.
But don't sleep on it. I have to throw that in there.
You want to talk
about the matches coming up on Tuesday, the 23rd? That's an A block show.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's see what we got there.
So, okay, this one's interesting. Taka versus Marty Scurll. That could be good.
Two pricks. Two villains. Slimy heels. Yeah, two villains. Okay, all right. All right. What else we got?
Liger versus Will Ospreay.
They wrestled, if I'm not mistaken, last year.
Right? I believe so.
I remember that one show. It was like in a building. I can't remember where, but it felt like it was the seats went on forever. It was like there was no elevation. It was just the rows of chairs, and they went on for miles. It felt like. And the match to me was okay. Wasn't great. Let's see what happens here. Do you think Liger gets a win?
No,
I guess Will Ospreay.
I don't. I'm sorry. I don't think Liger gets a win.
So right now, Liger has no points. What does Big Will have?
Man,
Big Willie. Let's see here. I had it up for a second.
Big Willie, Damon. This is a family podcast. Please.
It's my bad. Terrible work by me. I just had the stupid thing up. Oh, here we go. Ospreay 2. Liger Zilcho.
See, here's the thing. Ospreay is so hot now. Coming off of that Ricochet match.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wise to have him take a loss to Liger here.
Liger's going 0-4.
He might have to. He might
Colin.
Look. It looks like we're headed in 10-zone territory. I'm sorry.
Colin! This is his last best of the Super Junior.
I know. Look, hey. When is
he going to get a win?
If it's up to me, he's going to the finals, but...
Well, he's got to beat somebody.
Maybe he can go to the finals by like proxy, like maybe a Goto.
Slip on a banana peel.
Yeah.
We need a couple 30-minute draws.
You sure?
This doesn't look good, does it?
No, it doesn't look so good for Mr. Liger. But, hey, we'll see. There's plenty of surprises that could happen. This next match for the A Block, this is going to be amazing. Tai Chi versus Takahashi. I can't wait for this.
I hope there's a murder.
Oh, man.
Oh,
we're going to get, first of all, two great entrances. I love Takahashi's entrance as well.
Yeah.
He's one of the best entrances in the company right now.
Okay. Well, here's what we got. This is what this match means to me. Listen, we all know Tai Chi's not one of my favorites, right, Colin? And I know he's quickly becoming one of yours.
Well,
I'm sure.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Colin's going to start the fan club soon. With that said, it's impossible at this point of the game to have a bad match with Takahashi, right? It's impossible. You can't have it.
I haven't
right?
seen anybody have a bad match with him thus far.
Okay. Well, here's your challenge. So, either the impossible is going to occur, and we're going to see a bad match. The first, or Takahashi, oh, three things. Or Takahashi is just so head and shoulders about anybody, and he can carry a pile of leaves to a good match, right? Or Tai Chi steps up, and Tai Chi has a great match. Those are your three options at this point, right? What are you going with, Colin?
I'm going with a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Ah. You think we're going to have bullshit? You think we're going to have some LIJ interference and some Suzuki interference, huh?
I think it's a strong possibility.
Are you happy with this?
I think this is going to be fun. This to me, this has fun written all over it.
Fun. You know I don't like fun, Colin.
I know you're not one for the fun, but this is going to be a little bit of a change of pace, a little breather before this... This amazing main event for Best of the Super Juniors, Ricochet versus Dragon Lee.
That could be a barn burner.
That could be a pants down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm unbuckling right now. Yeah. I'm prepping. Huh. That's nice. That's a nice main event. Yeah, you might be right. We might get a healthy dose of bullshit. When somebody says fun, that's what I equate bullshit. Right?
Well, fun is bullshit.
It really is. And then we get that meat and potato match.
Okay. That's right.
I hope we don't have bullshit. I think you're right, though. I think you're right. I'm really trying to be optimistic and say, you know what? Tai Chi's going to blow everybody away. And he's in the ring with a guy who can make it happen. He's put in a big spot. He's getting a tap on the shoulder. We need you to come up big. But I think you're right. I think we're going to get bullshit. I think we're going to get fun bullshit. And then Dragon Lee Ricochet, which will blow the roof off the joint.
It all has right, to, not, right?
It has to, right. And not like has to, like there's pressure on. It has to, as in, how could it not?
Yeah, it's like science almost.
It really is. It's just, this is what will happen. Greatness will occur.
Yes.
I mean, come on. All right, that's not bad. That A block is so tight, man. Oh.
Yeah, that A block. I don't know.
It's can't miss. You can't miss an A block. Can't miss an A block. All right.
Well, so there's your best of the Super Juniors thus far, Damon. Now, we do want to talk about the G1 Long Beach lineup. Oh, and what if I told you that there was, if you didn't have tickets, there was maybe a glimmer of hope, a possible way that you could win tickets. Do you know of anybody who might have a contest going like that?
You're telling me you're looking for a contest to win a pair of G1 floor tickets, right?
Yeah. Do you know of anything like that?
Possible to get. Well, I do, Colin. There is. I have good news. I have good news for our listeners. Colin, our good friends at Gaijin Collectibles, they have a giveaway, and it's the time's running out. And it's simple. All that you need to do is like us, the Purecast, New Japan, on Facebook. Like Gaijin Collectibles, because they're your number one source for Japanese merch. Straight to your door. Just like them. You're automatically entered. You're in. You're going to win.
Automagically.
Automagically. You got a chance to win tickets to the sold-out G1 shows in Long Beach, California. How simple is that?
Just go to Facebook, like Gaijin Collectibles, like the Purocast, and baby, you're entered. And also, Damon, you've had firsthand experience ordering from Gaijin Collectibles, as you have mentioned on here in the past. I mean, what can you say about the service?
It's simple. It's easy. I mean, it's the stuff straight from Japan to your door in a simple, easy process. The people at Gaijin are great. Aaron, I speak to all the time. A great guy. He was at the Best of the Super Junior, him and his wife.
Oh, nice. I did not know that.
Yeah, if you watch, there was a spot where Kushida gets thrown into the crowd. And his lovely wife scrambling. You see her running for her life, as a matter of fact. So, again, good people over there, the Gaijin Collectibles. Listen, if you want the merch, it's simple. It's easy. It arrives quickly. And again, it's just the merchandise that's straight from the promotions. What could be better? And again, if you can win a pair of these tickets to the G1 specials, again, keep in mind you are responsible for your own flight or transportation and lodging.
You can stay with Damon. I'm giving you permission.
You are not staying with me. I'm with my lovely wife, who will be celebrating a nice little vacation out there. A little mini vacation. So the missus is coming as well. And when we close this podcast, people, we'll talk a little bit more about our meetup that's scheduled. It's an exciting time out there in G1. But Gaijin Collectibles will be supplying some nice little goodie bags as well for this meetup. So, again, good friends at Gaijin, support them. Support us. Get yourselves entered for these tickets, and you could be with me in Long Beach watching the G1 specials.
Very nice, Damon. Again, GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight to your door. All right, so what do you say we talk about this G1 Long Beach lineup that we have in front of us here? Should I go over the list of participants?
Yeah, quickly run down. I'll give you my thoughts of what I felt when I heard the word of this lineup. Again, matches won't be announced till after Dominion, but we do have a list of all the participants that will be in Long Beach. So go ahead, Colin, fire away.
All right, here we go. So, of course, the big four, Okada, Naito, Tanahashi, and Omega. No surprise there. Mm-hmm. Jushin Thunder Liger, mm-hmm. David Finlay, Juice Robinson.
Nice.
One of my favorites. Kushida. Mm-hmm. Michael Elgin. Mm-hmm. Rocky Romero.
Yes.
Trent Barretta. Will Ospreay. Tomohiro Ishii. Hiromu Takahashi. Sonata. Nice. Evil Bushi. So all of LIJ. All
right.
War Machine.
Yes.
They're going to be there. The Briscoes.
Yes.
Jay
the Briscoes?
Yeah, the Briscoes. Mark and Jay.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. How about that? That seems very Ring of Honor-y to me.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Let's see here. The Briscoes, Jay Lethal, and a former Ring of Honor world champion, Jay Lethal.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh. Teton.
Oh.
Dragon Lee, Evolador Jr. Bad Luck Fale.
Yes.
Yujiro Takahashi. Very good.
All right.
Marty Skrull.
Okay.
Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
Hangman Page.
Mm-hmm.
Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and the Young Bucks.
All right. So that's a pretty stacked lineup, right?
Listen, it is.
On paper, that's a lot of talent. And these shows should be great. When I first heard, when they were first announced, first of all, they had a press conference, Colin.
you were telling me.
What a joke that was. I mean, seriously. I don't understand why they couldn't have a legitimate press conference. Like, what would be the problem in sending out a press release to legitimate press? Because, trust me, they would be there, right? I don't see why they wouldn't. They didn't. They had a room at the hotel. They had a PowerPoint presentation that it looked like a 12-year-old created, announcing the lineup, where the names were absolutely butchered, Colin. It was embarrassing, to say the least. And then it became an elite showcase where the elite took questions, and I put that in the air quotes. It was nonsense. I'm going to be truthful. It was absolute nonsense and somewhat embarrassing. Truth be told, somewhat embarrassing. It was cringy. Like, they could have had it just be a legit thing. Why not announce that you're going to be on Access TV, which was made official, right? So Access TV is getting a live show, the Saturday show, and then the Sunday show is going to be taped delayed.
Yeah, and that should air the following Friday, they're saying, I think.
Correct. Again, positive news, great news, tremendous news. This is actually newsworthy. And they treated it like it was here's what it was, Colin. You know how they treated it? They treated it as if they didn't take it seriously, that they didn't see the seriousness in it, that they didn't see that this was a positive. It really felt that way.
And that's very alarming.
It is alarming. And it's concerning somewhat, right? It really is concerning. To me, if they just created one of those video packages announcing who they were going to have instead of going through this press conference, that would have been 1,000 times better. And I, truth be told, I guarantee you that Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, they could have had a better afternoon doing something completely something else than this,
like laying on the couch,
right? Exactly. I mean, imagine dragging your ass out of bed for that. It was really not great. It was not great.
Now,
so anyhow,
does this alarm you that it seems like they're not really treating this as seriously as they should be? Disconcerting?
I don't want to necessarily say serious, to be truthful. Maybe that's a bad choice of words. I just think that it just felt Bush League, and it felt second rate. It really did. It felt Bush League and second rate, that somebody's sitting there on, you know, with their iPhone streaming this on Facebook Live, and we can't pronounce names correctly. I mean, this, and again, we're not talking about, you know, Young Lions they couldn't pronounce. We're talking about, you know, the headliners.
Kazuchika Okada.
Oh, I can't. The problem is that I can't even replicate what sounds were coming out of this gentleman's mouth.
Tetsuya Naito.
Butchered. Absolutely butchered. And you should see the comments. People are like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
It's almost as if he didn't know who the wrestlers were at all.
I'm not going to say he didn't know, but boy, oh boy, were they rookie mistakes. That shouldn't happen. That really shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be me complaining on a New Japan podcast about that. That's unacceptable to me. It really is.
If you're gonna do a press conference, like a big press conference in California to promote these huge shows that you have that are gonna be airing on Access TV live, I mean, you would you would think that there would be bulbs flashing and, you know, Tanahashi and Okada and Omega and Naito would all be there. Like, you would think they'd want to make it a huge deal.
It really felt like it was thrown together at the last minute. Obviously it wasn't a press conference, and that's that. I don't know. It just felt like you could have had a real press conference. I'm guaranteeing you real press would have shown up if they treated it as it was a legitimate, newsworthy, sporting-type press conference.
They told nobody.
They told no one. I remember listening to Meltzer, and he's like, you think they would have told me? I had no idea.
Yeah, he didn't know what was going on.
Right. That's, I don't know. I think it's somewhat of a missed opportunity. Well, what do I know? All right, so
Now, the actual lineups for these shows.
Yeah. Well, at first I was like, oh my God, this is War of the Worlds. Right, this is. I saw all these guys past Sunday, right?
Yeah,
and Friday, and you mentioned Fale, Bad Luck Fale. Truth be told, Colin, and this is shocking coming from Damon's mouth, a third person, of course, I speak it now.
Naturally,
I'm excited for Bad Luck Fale. It's the first time I'm actually going to see him. In the States, I've saw him a few times overseas in Japan. But, I'm actually excited for that. I got to get him on that G1 poster. That's right.
Yeah, he's one of the missing signatures.
He is a missing signature, so I got to get him. But, so I'm looking over this lineup, Colin. And truth be told, I was like, I've seen all these guys. I've seen them. I just saw them Friday and Sunday. They're going down the entire lineup. I think there's Juice, David Finlay, and Fale, three people I have yet to see. But I did have to take a step back, because just because I saw them doesn't mean that a lot of these people, you know, look, Tanahashi's, he's not coming to Wisconsin anytime soon.
Right.
Right. So I got to check myself.
Watch the next special be in Wisconsin.
I hope so. Green Bay, live from the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. It's New Japan Pro Wrestling. No, of course, that would be silly. That's not happening. But my point being is this, is that people are flying in from all over the country. And maybe, you know, because I am very fortunate in the sense that I live in an area where I can easily travel to Philadelphia, New York City, and see a lot of these guys, I should probably check myself before, Colin, I wreck myself.
And I was going to say before you mess yourself.
Wreck yourself, I believe, is the saying.
Okay.
Going back to my 90s hip hop background, which is deep and vast,
extensive.
Oh, just you know, it starts and ends at Kid and Play. I think that's where it is. So yeah, there's to me on the surface, it did feel very Ring of Honor-y. Not gonna lie, it felt very. Listen, there's a lot of guys that I would have loved to have seen: Makabe, Taguchi,
Suzuki.
That one hurt, to be truthful. That one definitely hurt. Nagata, Yuji Nagata. How great would that have been?
Kojima. So,
Kojima? How can you not have Kojima on these shows? I mean, the guy has been chomping at the bit with this bread. You know how much fucking bread? The economy in Long Beach. What? There would have been bakers staring. Why did we sell all this bread? How did the... Then it would have been us. But opportunity lost.
You and Kojima, that is.
Yes. Listen, everybody, are you kidding me? Everybody going to these Long Beach shows would have had a loaf of bread in their hand.
They're part of the bread club.
Exactly, Colin. Again, a missed opportunity for the bread club. Lots of people disappointed with that.
I get the feeling that these shows, when you go to them, they're not going to be like authentic New Japan shows, you know what I mean, like with Japanese ring announcements. And
well, I don't think you're going to get Japanese ring announcements. I would be surprised. I'd be thrilled if they did. That would be great.
I hope it's a New Japan ring, at least.
They said that it was. Everything that I heard that is that the presentation was going to be a New Japan show. Kyle, I'm looking at my fucking ticket right now, and it says New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay. It doesn't say NJPW/ROH presents?
Shockingly, no.
Okay.
It doesn't. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And here's the thing. I enjoy the Ring of Honor shows with the New Japan tie-in.
And
if that's what I know I'm getting, I'm totally cool with it. I bought New Japan Pro Wrestling. I want a New Japan Pro Wrestling show. I'm getting the feeling that I'm going to a Ring of Honor New Japan show. And I think there's a lot of that. And that's not to say this is not going to be a great show. And that is not to say that this is not going to be fun and exciting and things that will happen that will impact the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Because these War of the World shows, you know, I sit here and I say they really don't impact the New Japan world, right? The confines of New Japan,
right.
The things that happen. I mean, Kushida won the ROH TV belt. And he does. I mean, that is a small thing. These shows, I'm hoping, will have impact down the line. Right? I think they will. And until the lineup is announced, I'm sorry. I kind of feel like I'm going to a Ring of Honor New Japan show as opposed to a New Japan show. And we were sold on a New Japan show.
Everyone bought tickets for.
That's what everybody's traveling for. That was what was being sold.
Not for Cody.
Here's the thing. All these guys that I'm kind of like, oh, why are they? I like Jay Lethal. I don't understand
why Jay Lethal's a great wrestler.
Right. To me, I would 1,000 times would rather see Yuji Nagata than Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
Right? I would 1,000 times rather see Togi Makabe than
Jay Lethal.
I'd
rather see Kojima.
I mean, the list is long.
People want to see New Japan stars.
I want to see New Japan stars. Now, the argument can be made that a lot of these guys, you know, every single one of them have wrestled on a New Japan show, right? Briscoes were your former tag team champions.
Hey, they were your original Never Trios champions with Yano.
Okay, where's Yano?
A lot of people bummed out about that, honestly, on our Twitter. No Yano.
Yeah. Again, the assumption was is that we were getting New Japan. And again, Briscoes, Jay Lethal, I mean, Hangman Page is in a tag team with Yujiro. Billy Gunn is on these shows, Colin.
Billy Gunn, as in Mr. Ass.
He is on these shows. Guess who else is on these shows?
Who?
Yoshi Tatsu.
Ah, okay. You can have the Bullet Club Hunters tag team of Billy Gunn and Yoshi Tatsu. Everyone wants to see that, right?
I'm sorry, what was that? You broke up.
I was just talking about the infamous Bullet Club Hunters tag team.
And I thought you said something like everybody wants to see that.
Right,
no one wants to see that. Look, there was a guy or a person, should I say, on Reddit who was like, well, you know, Billy Gunn is if you're going to go after the U.S. audience, Billy Gunn is a great guy to have. I'm like, what?
Hey, he's a former King of the Ring.
Like, really? Like, if Billy Gunn makes 5 people become New Japan Pro Wrestling fans, I was like, I'll buy you a beer. Fuck it, I'll buy you 2.
Damon, he pushed Terry Funk off of the stage in a dumpster.
I think that there are 1,000 others that I understand that. What I think even Yoshitatsu lives in Los Angeles now. So here's what it feels like, Colin. It feels like they skimped out. It feels like New Japan skimped out on bringing in talent.
It really does.
It really felt like they went cost cutting and they saw a lot of cheaper options to bring in North American talent that wrestled on New Japan shows as opposed to New Japan talent that everybody associates with New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's what it felt like to me.
And
sorry.
We still don't know what this U.S. title tournament is going to consist of.
Well, it's not going to be round robin. I think that someone misspoke. So thank the Lord for that. Yeah, thank the Lord for that. Because if not, we're seeing Hangman Page 7 times over 2 nights. So, no, it should be single elimination. But, yeah, I think a lot of the people will be in this tournament. But dilute it with all these guys, your title's not going to mean much out of the gate. And it's going to be hard out of the gate regardless. again, on one side of the coin, I was like, I was disappointed. The other side of the coin is that I had to recognize the fact that just because I saw these people a thousand times doesn't necessarily mean that the majority of the people being flown in and that are flying in on their own dime have seen Tanahashi, have seen Okada, have seen Naito, have seen no Goto, by the way.
Yeah, no Goto. That is a big glaring omission.
So we'll see. I a little disappointed. Not going to lie, but...
Well, Damon, like you said, not everyone is as privileged as you are to just be hanging out with Tanahashi and hugging him on pay-per-view. I mean, you know, come on. You live a very splendid existence here.
I'm a very important person in the world of pro wrestling.
Oh, I know.
You know, listen, Kevin Kelly, not for nothing. He goes around ringside. You know, he's high-fiving everybody. Colin, I got the handshake. I got the handshake and the semi-bro hug.
Well, look, you're an important member of the, pro wrestling press.
Why wasn't I at this press conference? That's what
I don't know.
Did you get a press release and didn't tell me? Is that what happened?
Well, I haven't checked our email in a while. So.
That's true. I knew that.
Wouldn't that be something if I went into the email?
That is true.
Oh, my God. No,
you know what I did the other day? I went through, I went to the back end of our website. I updated it a little bit. I put, you know how we have like the most listened to episodes?
Yeah, they're from like 2015.
Right, exactly. They've been changed. They've been refreshed.
Very nice.
And then I also went through, you know how in WordPress you have literally the spam bots coming at, you know, for the easy link, the comment spam link. For Viagra and sneakers and everything else. Take a guess how many comments we had.
400.
Oh, you kidding me? We had 4,000 spam comments that
good
we never deleted.
Lord.
So they're gone. Yeah, they're gone now, so we're good. But yes, there's a little refresh. So go check it out, guys, newjapanpurecast.com. All right, so yes, I do feel slighted. We should have been invited to the phony press conference, but we did not get that press release. But yeah, we'll see. It should be fun. So, Colin, do you want to wrap up the show and we could talk a little bit about this meetup that is blowing up, Colin? It's becoming a little bit of a burden, actually.
All righty, Damon. So, those will be your final words. But once again, everyone, we just want to thank you for tuning in to the New Japan Purocast each and every week. As Damon said, newjapanpurocast.com. Listen to the episodes as soon as they are uploaded on there. We're also on the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network, usually every Monday afternoon. And of course, don't forget about our good friends over at gaijincollectibles.com, your number one source for all Puru Resu merchandise and your last option for G1 Long Beach tickets. So check them out, like them on Facebook, like us on Facebook. And Damon, the floor is yours to talk about this meetup.
Well, this meetup is really becoming quite an event. Again, Beachwood Barbecue is the location. There is a sign up sheet. We are asking that you do use the sign up sheet. If you go to our Facebook page, if you go to Reddit, the New Japan subreddit, if you go to the Classic Board, you'll find links to this Google Doc where we're asking you to RSVP because turnout has become quite large. We are looking at over 100 people in attendance for this meetup, rapidly approaching even more than that. So, and that was like the first feedback that I got back was that we were, you know, easily at 100. So we have to find a venue that can support us. Beachwood so far has been very cooperative. They look fantastic. The place looks great. So we're hoping that we can maintain our spot there because all the feedback that we're getting of people that are attending. So if you are planning, please help us out. Check out that link. And we hope to see you in Long Beach. Right now it's Beachwood Barbecue and it looks like that's going to be the spot. Beer, craft beer, delicious barbecue, and lots of friends and family. I'll be there along with representatives from the New Japan Pro Wrestling subreddit, as well as the Classic Board as well. So good time had by all. Make sure you RSVP if you haven't already. We hope to see you there at Beachwood Barbecue in Long Beach.
All righty. Very good, Damon. Once again, check that out on the NJPW subreddit. And on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week to talk more Best of the Super Juniors 24.